At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hillbilly Horror Stories presents Eerie Encounters.
When I first met my husband, Mark, he had a dog that was named Nikolos. He was a mixed breed, mostly rotting. Nick, as we called him, lived at my husband's mother's house when we first got married and was loved by the entire family. He was a great dog. He loved children and would keep a watchful eye on the kids to keep them safe from the nearby lake where we lived in Florida. My husband and I got a home where we were able to move Nick in with us. This was a very happy time. We loved him, and with my husband working nights, he made me feel safe. But Nick was more afraid of the thunderstorms than I was, and it was not unusual to wake up in the middle of the night during a storm and hear him come through the cat door. All 90 pounds of him. He also greeted visitors that way. He stayed on the back porch or in the garage most of the time, and when he heard someone come in, he would run to the side door from the garage and stick his big head through as if to say, "Hey, what did you get me? Hurry, I want to come and see. And, oh, by the way, here's a kiss too while you're trying to open the door." The years went by too fast, and by the time Nick was 15, his hips started to give out on him. It was on the same day that Mark's mother had a heart attack. We didn't want to tell her that Nick was down and not able to get up. We took him to the vet, and he said that we should take the dog home and see if we could coax him up. For 3 days, we did everything that we could. I stayed with him all 3 days with his head in my lap, telling him how much that we loved him. On the third day of his suffering, we took him to the vet again, and he told us that we would have to put him to sleep. As you can imagine, it had been a hard couple of days with Mark's mother in the hospital, and now this. It was one of the hardest things that we've ever had to do. We both stayed with Nick until he was gone, his head still in my lap. Oh, how I missed that dog, but all the good things in life must come to an end. When we left the vet, I felt as though Nick had loaded up in the car with us. But then I thought, man, I've really lost it. When we got home, we were both upset, and we just sat around that night. Mark and I were in the kitchen, and we heard the sound of a dog's toenails coming around the porch into the garage. We both turned around to see if Nick's big head would come through the cat door. It didn't, and we both began to cry. About a day and a half later, we came home from the hospital and went to the kitchen for a sandwich. Both of us heard Nick's dog tags jingle, even though they were on his collar that was still out in Mark's truck. We looked at each other and asked, "Did you hear that?" From then on, things started to happen. I'd be in the bed and I'd hear the cat door slap, even though the cat was on the bed at the time. We heard Nick's dog tags daily. One night, we were sitting at the kitchen table having iced tea when we heard Nick whine. Both of us said, "Oh, he wants a cookie." My husband said, "Hold on, Nick, I'm coming." We went to the door to see him, but he wasn't there. We both said to each other, "I know you heard that." Not long after that, my husband saw a neighbor whose dog had had puppies, and we got the runt of the litter. His name is Captain. After he came along with us, we didn't hear too much more from Nick. Captain now wears Nick's collar, and he's just like Nick. It's amazing. He acts like him and even looks like him. So I think Nick is still around and helping raise the puppy. That was from Jaquette Foskey in Florida. Thank you. Being born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, I've always had a great fascination for the area's local urban legends and ghost stories. On the east side of the city lies the old Bonaventure Cemetery, which dates back to the 18th century when it was a family cemetery on a plantation. Before being purchased by the city of Savannah in the year 1907, it was called the Evergreen Cemetery. Many Civil War soldiers and even some famous people like Johnny Mercer and Conrad Aiken are buried there. And in 1994, a murder mystery called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil partially took place at the historic burial ground. The cemetery is believed to be haunted by a pack of ghost dogs that roam the grounds after the sun goes down. Some of the braver souls who have walked through the cemetery after dark have reported being chased by invisible phantom hounds. The dogs have never been seen by anyone, but they can be heard barking and panting. Back when I was a youngster in college, I heard another supernatural story about Bonaventure, which incidentally means good fortune in French. I was told that there is a statue there that overlooks the grave of a young child, and it weeps tears of blood. The legend of the statue is so well known that many people come to the cemetery just to place flowers, money, or little trinkets of some kind in the palm of the statue's hand. That was sent from R. Millard in Savannah, Georgia. My daughter, Krista Simpson, has been seeing spirits since she was a young child. The following story, which she told me, is an account of the very first and only time that she ever saw an animal spirit. One evening during an electrical storm, Krista was playing on the couch. She was looking out the living room window and enjoying the natural beauty of the lightning show. Suddenly, out of the corner of her eye, she began to see a glow, almost as if someone had turned on a light in the room. It struck her as odd. She slowly turned her head to get a better view of the source without looking directly at what it was. Krista had always avoided looking directly at the spirits, as they scare her horribly, but something about this one made her want to look at it more fully. What she saw amazed her. It was a beautiful, silvery metallic glow that was very strong and very bright. This intrigued her, so she turned her head further and saw a beautiful silvery wolf. Its coloring was like that of a Siberian husky, and she knew it was definitely a spirit because there was a transparency to it. It startled her to see a wild animal such as this in our home, but this wolf seemed to be more domesticated. He looked strong and proud and very beautiful. His eyes were brilliant. The glow he radiated was much stronger than that of any other spirit she had witnessed before. As Krista lay on the couch, she began to sense something about the animal. He seemed to be protecting something. She noticed the direction of the animal's concentrated stare. It seemed to be looking just over her shoulder at the wall behind her. She felt that she was safe in his presence and she could relax. She also sensed that what he was protecting had something to do with people, but she did not know if it was someone from the past or us. As a little more time passed, Krista began to sense more about this beautiful creature. She sensed that the name of the animal was Nabdon, and that it meant her no harm. This relaxed her as she continued to try to watch it from the corner of her eye. Nabdon stood without moving for a short period of time. He did not move from his original spot, nor did he make any type of noises. Suddenly, the glow began to dim, and the wolf was gone just as quickly as it had appeared. I've done some research on the name, and I tried to discover where this animal might have come from and whom he was protecting, but I couldn't find anything. Our home is old and has stood on the same spot for nearly 100 years. This general area is very rich in Native American and colonial history, and most of the ghosts encountered by Krista have been those of colonial-era men, women, and children. She was also witnessed Civil War soldiers as well as more modern individuals. But never before had she ever seen the spirit of an animal, especially one such as the Silver Wolf. The story was sent from Karen Simpson.
You have been listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories Presents Eerie Encounters. If you have an eerie encounter that you would like read on the show, please send it to hillbillyhorrorstories@gmail.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.